Luke chapter 8, page 697, we're going to pick up the reading at verse 41 down to the end of the chapter. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. May God bless his word.
Well, now I have a simple gospel message for you this evening. Faith makes us whole, or rather it is the Lord Jesus that makes us whole through faith. I'm thinking especially of this story in the middle of the longer story that we read, the woman with the issue of blood who the Lord healed. And at the end of that interchange with her, he says in verse 48 of Luke chapter 8, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Somebody may say it wasn't her faith that made her whole, it was the Lord. Well, of course, that's what he meant. "You've simply trusted me. I've made you whole. You can go in peace now. You're at rest. That's everything is all right." To save, I think the version we read said "made well." Sometimes the word is translated to heal or to be made whole, to save. It's the same word. Of course, spiritually, a person who is saved by Jesus is saved. Well, if you're saved from something, you would have died otherwise. You're saved. And, of course, we are saved from a situation of death already. Naturally, we're born separated from God, existing but separated because of sin. A brother read, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And he has, by dying for our sins, removed the barrier. And so therefore we have life, the life of God, not existence, but that quality that is eternal and wonderful. So we're saved from sin, from death, from pointlessness, from futility, from uncertainty. But the word also means made whole. It's the same word. So when the Lord said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole," he could have said, "Your faith has saved you. You've been saved by your faith." The Apostle Paul says we're saved through faith. It's by grace, all of the goodness of God. But when we come to personally trust him, it means that before I am saved, before I'm made whole, I'm not whole. I am broken. I am debilitated. Dare I say deformed. I remember when our old pastor, he founded the work under God that I am now the pastor at, and after 60 years he retired, he's gone to be with the Lord now. But on one occasion he returned to his home to discover he'd been burgled, and he saw the burglar leaving through the window. And he said, I could have murdered him. And he said, on reflection, I think his words were, I'd like to have taken hold of his throat. But he said, on reflection, that man is deformed. I said, if I saw someone in a wheelchair, I would feel a great sense of sympathy. I ought to feel a greater sympathy for a thief who is broken, deformed, unable to be honest or unwilling in his soul. Now, the miracles of Jesus, of course, were actual miracles, clearly, but they are also wonderful pictures of this process, making us whole. He made the blind to see. Obviously, once the person could see, everything changed. And of course, he gives us spiritual eyesight. It's a solemn thing to think that a person born naturally cannot see God, see how to get right with God. The whole of eternity, happiness, the ages to come, how to get right and into the presence and have friendship with that God is all opaque, can't be seen. Blind, no idea. Jesus gives eyesight, and God commands the light to shine, and I see my sin on him, one who is sinless, taking it away. Mine has gone, and he's risen and able to save me. Wonderful to see that. I'm not whole until I see that. Appreciate it. He made the paralyzed able to function, to walk, to act, to use their hands and arms. My soul, the real me, my soul is not like some ethereal thing that I possess. I am my soul. That's me. This is just a temporary arrangement, this body, through which I express myself on earth. But my soul is paralyzed, utterly dependent on anyone else to move. I can get nowhere, do anything of any real value, of any lasting eternal value, until Jesus makes me whole. And he made the paralyzed whole. He makes the paralyzed whole. He healed the person with leprosy. I understand what we consider to be leprosy today is exactly only maybe what the Lord, the Bible considers leprosy is also some other fungal sort of things as well. That may be so. But I understand the deformities that are likely to occur in a person with leprosy are not because of the leprosy directly. They're because you're rendered insensitive. I was wiping the top of our gas ring recently, about a week ago, and I put my finger, I can still, there it is, on a hot bit, only just been turned out, I hadn't realised. Now I moved it pretty quick. Almost an hour on and off the water. It still came lovely blister full of horrible stuff. You don't want to know that. But what a terrible thing not to know and to leave it there. And that's just a little finger. And to be insensitive to God and his love and his grace and his holiness, not to fear, not to understand anything, to be totally insensitive to spiritual realities, my own welfare and that of others that I'm influencing. Also, of course, the man with leprosy was banned from the temple, from the house of God. He could make no approach to God, and his social interaction was severely limited. He had to call out to be separate. A perfect picture of sin. It was in him. The thing is in me. Sin cuts me off from proper contact with other people and from God. All life and peace has gone. In fact, the word is unclean, ceremonially unclean. And Jesus can cleanse the leper. We say a dirty joke. Think of a dirty mind. Sin is filth. And that's what it is. And it pollutes me. It's in me. I need to be cleansed if I'm to come into the presence of a clean God who is perfect and only thinks good, holy, wonderful, kind thoughts. The miracles of Jesus are a picture of the condition of our soul. I'm not whole. I'm not what I should be. Most people lie. My suit is lying to you. This isn't my shoulder, this is a bit added. The whole fabric of our society lies. Or it's the totality of truth, which is really another way of saying it's a lie. You make excuses why I couldn't turn up. I didn't hear the phone. I didn't get your message. I couldn't do the homework for this reason or that. I was too tired. I forgot. Excuses. They're lies. Sometimes it's worse than that. It's actually aimed at slandering someone to hurt them. The old saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me. What a lot of rubbish. To say unkindness, to malign a person, to make people think evil of a person, can be worse than smashing them in the face with your fist. And if I'm a liar, it stops me interacting and working properly with people. People get to know. I can't be trusted. I'm cut off from God. I'm deformed. I need to be made whole. Honest, pure, without guile, an Israelite indeed, a real one. People are addicted to sex, porn. It's dirty. Anything to do with sex outside of marriage definitely is. It deforms. Because how can I look at a woman and treat her properly if she's a sex object? Or vice versa? Sin means I cannot be who I should be. I was created in the image of God. And sin got in and perverted it, spoiled it, twisted all the good. There's such a thing as human righteousness. But it's twisted, it's spoiled, it can never be what it should be. It drags me down. Sometimes I go willingly with it. Sometimes I struggle against it. It's the same effect though. I fail. And unless I am recreated, redeemed, saved, made whole by Christ, that same God who's become a man, I am not whole. And I will be eternally frustrated. Maybe that's what gnashing of teeth means. Never, never being what I should be and could have been in Christ. My daughter had a friend in her junior school, and they went up into the senior school together. And the dad especially, dad and mum, but dad especially, wanted her to be a lawyer, solicitor, that kind of, study law. She was found it very difficult. She just hated it. Gave it up. Then they wanted her to, well, all right then, second, be an accountant. Hated figures. But she was good with fabrics and colour and design. They wouldn't let her do it. The scripture says, bring up a child in the way he or she should go. Because we're all different. Always in the way of the Lord, but there are other things that are individual to me. She's now frustrated, I know that. Now a young woman of about 25, 26. Imagine being eternally frustrated in a far worse way than that. That's what it means. That's why Jesus says to the person who's been made whole, go in peace. There's no peace, no rest, just regret. Otherwise, well, just a brief look at the story of this woman to whom Jesus said, be of good comfort, be of good cheer, cheer up, it's okay. Your faith, your trust in me has made you whole. You're now the person you should be, physically, of course. But a picture of spiritually, no doubt the Lord did something for her spiritually. Anyway, her life when she came to Jesus was leaking away. Verse 43, a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. That's what it meant. Her life, the life blood, was leaking, eking away uselessly without doing what it should do, debilitating her. Of course, we're already dead in sin, but the moment will come when there will be no further hope. Life is leaking away. I need to reach the Lord while I've still got the chance, before the blood has finally gone and I can't call out and be made whole. She tried. She'd spent all her living upon physicians, doctors, neither could be healed of any. Nobody else can help. Only Jesus. She had made an effort to be better. So with the limited energy she had, she'd gone to ask people for help. None of them. Professionals. Used her money. We cannot buy wholeness. We cannot buy salvation. He gives it. He does it. When we trust him. There's ways to try and forget other people. Friends will laugh and laugh it off. Talk about sin and not being whole. And for a time one can forget, but it's still there. One can get involved with computer games, get on Facebook, watch the television, be absorbed with music, and for a time forget the fact that I am in total frustration and not who I should be. No one else can help. Only Jesus. She was on the edge of seeing the one who could help her. Verse 44. She came behind him. Whether that was because she was, we'll say this in a minute, too shy to approach directly, just she couldn't keep up, she was weak and the Lord was passing. Whatever reason, she came behind him, touched the border of his garment, just the edge of what he was wearing, his outer coat. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. Healed, stopped. Some people are just like that. They're on the edge. There's something that they think this the Lord can help. They are aware of their need, but they're on the edge. And just can just about reach, just the touch, just the edge. Not even of him, but of the clothes he's wearing. But it was enough. It was enough. People always get in the way. The crowd always hinders people from getting to Jesus. And these were probably mainly his supporters, let alone those who are against him. People and the circumstances around us. If we move in a group, somebody needs to break rank and come to Christ. Maybe then others will follow. Someone needs to have the courage, not what are the others doing. While I'm aware of what others are doing and thinking and making my approach to the Lord Jesus subject to what others think, I'll never come to him. But although it was right on the edge, and although the crowds were in the way, she could reach out and touch him. You can reach out and touch him. The crowds cannot stop the sincere person. I was talking to Tom this afternoon about a young lad, son of one of our church members, who's for years, his friends especially, he's one of these, all right, blood, all right, all these, football and dress, and when he's with them, he goes wrong. Well, 2 weeks ago, he came forward, he felt he had to come forward in the meeting and gave a testimony, the Lord had saved him. And that is very wonderful. He's got two of them, especially in his mind. He wants them saved. He thinks they will be saved. God can change people. But you need to break ranks and come to Jesus. Maybe she was shy. I mean, it's an embarrassing situation. Loads of people. Do you want to make a spectacle of yourself? Woman, poor soul. I was so, before I came to Christ when I was 19, ashamed. I had a Bible smaller than this. And I had to go up to through the garden to get into the garage to drive. I was 19, drive back the car down a side alley. I had to hide it down my trousers, just in case anyone was in the other garden to look. How stupid was that? To be shy, to be embarrassed. Well, the shy person, I got saved. Shy, chronically shy people can be saved. You can get to Jesus. He'll make you whole. Maybe there was even an element of superstition. Was it just that she got to the edge of the garment because she couldn't get any nearer? Or was it she wanted to just do it and not be noticed? And I know, I just the touch. He's worn it, so therefore it'll touch. I tell you this, nothing that Jesus wore. If you found a bit of the cross of Jesus, really, it wouldn't do you a bit of good. If you found a dried bit of the blood of Jesus on the ground, literally, I don't mean to be blasphemous, it wouldn't do you a scrap of good. But if she did have a bit of superstition, even so, she wanted help and she reached out and Jesus met her anyway. And power went from him and she was healed. If you've got a St. Christopher on or a cross, or you've read about the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant and all that, that's all tosh. Absolute rubbish. It'll do you no good. Only Jesus. But even if you've got mixed up ideas, and there's an element of superstition, reach out! And you'll be made whole. The person you should be. Jesus was on his way to what, if she'd known, I don't know if she knew or not, would have been a more important thing, surely. The ruler of the synagogue, he was going with him. He was a very important man, not some insignificant little lady with some bleeding problem. He's a man of the cloth. He's in what was the church, in effect, the synagogue. And the need was much greater. His little daughter of 12 was dying on the point of death. It was urgent. You must come now. There's surely no time for this woman. Yes, there was time for this woman. Jesus always has time for me, for you. The news came that she died. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe because of the delay. Maybe Jesus would have got there, but it didn't matter. Maybe without the delay, her delay, she would have got there. Well, it didn't matter. When he got there, he raised her up from the dead. Nothing is more important than my need, your need, being made whole. Even if I think other things are more important. And I'm going to finish with that wonderful declaration. Be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. You can go in peace now. It's okay. You can put your head on the pillow and know it's all right. Your sins are forgiven. You're right with God. You have a purpose in life. It's not, you're just not a meaningless speck in the universe. God himself, with all his power, has given you himself. And you have eternal life. That's peace. Go in peace. We'll read the words leading up to it. Jesus said, remember her blood stanched, she'd been healed. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him, these are his friends, said, Master, the multitude throng thee, press thee, and you say, who touched you? You're being jostled. You've been on the underground in London. Who touched you? Who didn't? What do you mean? No, but this was a different sort of thing. This wasn't just people moving with me and jostling with. Somebody was looking for help. I noticed that. Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue, power, is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. Loads of confidence. And she declared to him before all the people. No doubt that was greatly embarrassing. For what cause she had touched him, why she had done it, and how she was healed, made whole, saved immediately. And he said to her, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. If you have reached out and touched him, come and tell him. Make sure. Come right before him. Then you'll hear those words. Be good comfort. You are whole. In other words, Jesus isn't interested in a crowd per se. He is interested in the person who's serious. Whoever it is, not the respectable, not the churchified, not the good people, not the bad people. He's not interested in bad people. He's interested in people who want to be saved. He loves everybody. But he's interested in and devotes his attention to those who are serious, who reach out to him. Now, is that you? Are you serious? You want help? There's nothing to stop you. Nothing can stop you. Not the crowd, not shyness, not misunderstanding, not even a deformity in my soul that means my life is eking away. Will you trust him? You know it's true. You know he's here. You know he's bled and died to take away all sins, and you can be forgiven, changed. You know he can take you, make you different. You know that in that sense you've got faith. But the faith that saves you, makes you whole, is when you put that into practice. You put your case into his hands. You reach out. And even if it's just to touch his garment, and you will hear the words, be of good comfort, it's okay. Your faith has made you whole. You can go in peace. It's up to you. You can reach out and touch him now. Amen.